Hey, it's Ray, and welcome back to Ray the Quirky HSP Podcast. I hope everyone had a wonderful and safe Thanksgiving. I decided to take a week off to rest and relax, and now I'm ready to get back into sharing what I feel are interesting topics with you guys. Please take a moment now and subscribe to my YouTube channel if this is where you're listening. If you haven't, I'd greatly appreciate it. Today's episode is one that's close to my heart because I'm talking about something that doesn't get nearly enough attention, in my opinion. The unique struggles of melanated, highly sensitive people, HSPs, and or empaths. You've probably seen plenty of videos about what it means to be an HSP, if you're looking for them. But let's be real, most of them don't look like me or understand the intersection of racial identity and heightened sensitivity. I know when I was looking for just answers about what it meant to be sensitive back in 2020, when my mom mentioned to me that, you know, maybe I was more of an empath. Those were her words. And so I, because I had heard the word empath, I wasn't really sure what it meant as it pertained to me and what she kind of meant by that. So, of course, I turned to the internet and I go to YouTube and I just start looking up, you know, what does it mean to be an empath? And unfortunately, I didn't see a whole lot of content that was created by people who look like me. I finally found, after doing some digging, I found this brother, and maybe I'll put his information, if I can find him again, in the comment section. But I found this guy, and I was specifically looking for melanated people because I wanted someone that could understand me, and I wanted to see what he had to say about the topic. And like I said, I watched a few of the videos that I could find, the ones that were created by, I would say, Caucasian men and women, and a lot of their points and regarding the topic were valid. I'll have to say they are, because being an HSP is not specific to any particular ethnicity. There's a lot of those traits that we all have in common, but I wanted to just hear it from the standpoint of somebody who looked like me. So that being said, in this episode, I'm going to share 10 struggles that only melanated HSPs or empaths can truly relate to. These are the experiences where our sensitivity and cultural identity collide in ways that are rarely discussed. So if you've ever felt like a mainstream HSP content that you've seen online didn't quite capture your experience, you're definitely not alone. So let's dive into these struggles and explore why being a melanated HSP is a different kind of challenge, one that deserves recognition. All right, welcome back, friends. So far, we've discussed the importance of recognizing how being a melanated, highly sensitive person, HSP or empath, shapes our experiences differently from the mainstream narrative. Now, I want to dive deeper into the 10 struggles that only melanated HSPs and or empaths can truly understand. As an HSP, you already know that we experience the world on a deeper level, every sound, every feeling, every emotion. But when you layer that sensitivity with the reality of being melanated or a person of color, things change. The way we interact with the world, how we handle stress, and even how we express ourselves can be entirely different. So let's jump into these 10 struggles, and I'm going to give you a deeper look at why being a melanated HSP is such a unique experience. Number 1, navigating microaggressions. As a melanated HSP and or empath, we're especially attuned to subtle changes in tone, facial expressions, and body language. Microaggressions are these seemingly small, often unintentional comments or actions that reinforce stereotypes or treat us as other, quote unquote. For example, when someone comments on how articulate we are or assumes we're angry just because we're speaking passionately, it stings. I've been called articulate my entire life by people who don't look like me. And in my first thought when they say that is, well, you are too, but, you know, I didn't feel the point to or the need to have to point that out to you. So that is something that gets on my nerves a little bit. Most people won't notice these little jabs, but for those of us who are sensitive, it's like a pinprick in our emotional energy. Over time, these microaggressions can pile up and we end up exhausted, second guessing our place in the world. Imagine having to walk spaces already on guard, knowing that you might be subjected to these little cuts that chip away at your peace. Something to think about. Number two, the pressure to be strong. There's this overwhelming pressure in many communities of color to be resilient, unwavering, and constantly strong. It's ingrained in us, often from a young age, that showing emotion or vulnerability is a sign of weakness. As a melanated HSP and or empath, it's incredibly difficult to live up to these expectations. We feel deeply, but we're told that it's not okay to show it. When we do express our sensitivity, we're often met with statements like, "You're too emotional," or "Stop being so sensitive." I've heard it my entire life, and I'm so fucking over it. And it's not just a personal preference, it's a societal norm. This can create a sense of internal conflict. We want to honor our emotions and sensitivities, but at the same time, we don't want to disappoint the people who rely on us to be strong. This struggle can sometimes make us feel like we're stuck between two opposing worlds. Number three, feeling overlooked in HSP or a highly sensitive person conversations. One of the most frustrating things for me as a melanated HSP and empath is that the conversations around being an HSP are overwhelmingly dominated by white voices. Like I said, if you look online and you just look up what it is to be an HSP, you're going to find a whole lot of those videos. Just take a look for yourselves. I love the HSP community that I'm learning about, but we don't often see content that addresses the unique challenges that come with being both highly sensitive and melanated. Our cultural identity isn't often woven into the traditional narrative. For instance, an HSP video might discuss the overwhelming effects of bright lights or loud noises, but it won't necessarily acknowledge how we, as people of color, are constantly navigating systemic oppression or how that impacts our emotional sensitivity. The intersections of race and sensitivity create a different experience, and it's time our voices are heard in this space too. For example, I work in the South, and I've worked, well, even if you're not in the South, but I've had people on my job that have, you know, accused me of things, or you can kind of tell, even just growing up in the South, and we all have to understand and recognize that racism does exist. But somehow we're supposed to, or I feel, it seems like it's an unspoken rule that for us to bring up, for someone of a person of color, that were to bring up how they feel about being racially discriminated against, it's a look, it's a conversation, it's a tone that you'd have to be in this skin to recognize. And I have on my own even pointed it out to my employer or to management at my job, and it's kind of just looked over. There's no conversation about it, and I think that's unfair, but that's corporate America. I'll leave that alone for now. Number four, the emotional weight of racial injustice. I guess I didn't leave it alone. As HSPs, we feel things deeply, but when it comes to racial injustice, it's not just about emotional overwhelm. It's about taking on the collective pain of our communities. The news stories, social media posts, and even casual conversations about racial injustice can hit us harder than most. We aren't just processing the emotional shock of seeing people who look like us suffer. We're also carrying the generational trauma of systemic racism. Every time there's an act of violence against us or a person of color, it's personal for us. And the emotional weight we carry doesn't disappear after the news cycle moves on. We still have to go to work. Those of us that live in the South, we have to deal with people, as I just got through saying, who don't really have our best interests at heart, who want our jobs because, you know, that white privilege is real. And this may be taking another tone, but I think that it all is woven in together with how we as HSPs and empaths, how we feel it. And I think if you're a melanated person in the South, even if you're not an empath or an HSP, you can relate to what I'm saying. This heavy emotional load can sometimes feel like too much for one person to bear. And as an HSP and or empath, it's even harder to let go, you know, when you're going through something like that and move forward just like that. You know, just as they say, let the water just go over your back. No, sometimes it's not that easy. Number five, the strain of code switching. That's something Tabitha Brown, the content creator and influencer and celebrity now on social media. She talks about how she refuses to code switch. And good for her that she's at a place in her life where she doesn't have to do that. But as melanated people who work around this United States, we know that code switching is something that we know it too well. It's ingrained in us. It's something that we do. It's something that I think that we're just intrinsically, we do it no matter what side of the nation that you're on. As a melanated HSP, code switching is especially draining. It's exhausting having to adjust our behavior, speech, and even body language depending on the environment. I was told recently that I have to learn how to wear the mask, the proverbial mask. I haven't had to wear a mask my entire life. I'm pretty much who I am. I've had the luxury of working in different industries where I didn't necessarily have to work with this much of the public as I've had to working at the airports. But in professional spaces, we might change the way we speak or dress to avoid being judged for sounding too black or being too loud. At the same time, we're already aware of how sensitive we are to how others perceive us. So when we're forced to code switch, it feels like we're constantly monitoring ourselves, and that's emotionally exhausting, especially when you're doing it to keep from getting in trouble or to appeal to the masses when the masses, of course, don't look like you. As an HSP and empath, I personally want to be authentic and true to myself. But the reality is that there's always a balancing act between who I am and who I'm expected to be. Number 6, cultural stigma around sensitivity. In many communities of color, sensitivity is often seen as a weakness, especially in black neighborhoods. You cannot be, it's like surprisingly when you show your sensitivity to certain people, it's like, oh my God, why are you so sensitive? And oftentimes the people that are saying that, they're just as sensitive, but they're choosing to wear a tough exterior. Growing up, I was taught to be tough, to shake off hurt feelings, and to keep moving forward. Sensitivity was something soft, something that made you an easy target. But being an HSP and an empath means I feel everything intensely. My emotions, others' emotions, the energy in the room, and that's just not something I can switch off. For melanated HSPs and empaths, it can feel like we don't belong in either world. Not tough enough to meet cultural expectations, but too sensitive to feel validated in the wider HSP community. This internal tension can lead to a lot of self-doubt because we're constantly questioning if we're doing enough to honor our cultural identity while also embracing our natural sensitivity. Number 7, feeling isolated in our sensitivity. One of the hardest parts of being a melanated HSP is the isolation. Not only do we feel isolated within our cultural communities for being sensitive, but we also feel like outsiders in the mainstream HSP and empath community because our lived experiences are different. Sometimes it feels like no one truly understands the full weight of our sensitivity because it's shaped by our racial experiences. These isolations that we can put ourselves in can be incredibly lonely, especially when you're trying to process intense emotions that others can't relate to. As an HSP, I know how important it is to connect with others who truly understand. But the reality is finding those connections can feel like searching for a needle in a haystack. So for me, I'm grateful that I've, you know, naturally have, gravitated toward a few people here in Nashville that I work with that have, you know, expressed themselves as being HSPs. A few people that I work with, McGoy, who was my previous guest on the last episode, RJ, who just, me talking about it a lot and talking with her, you know, her now finding out she was a former guest and a coworker of mine still in LA, but she's an introvert. And I guess since we were talking about it, she, you know, did some research on her for herself, I guess, and looked inward and realized that she also is an empath, highly sensitive person. She has her sensitivities to certain things. And there's a few other people that I work with that I can't wait to bring on the podcast and have them talk about their experiences as well. So I'm grateful for the community online that I found. It's interesting that with all this time that I didn't know that it was even a thing, for me now to have, I guess, been introduced to the community of highly sensitive people and see that there's a lot of people via the social media, you know, platforms that we have, these groups that I've been able to fortunate to find and to become members of. I'm grateful that, you know, it's always nice to be able to figure out and find out that you're not the only one. So we're going to get into number 8. We're going to wrap this up very quickly. This is going to be a short episode, a short podcast, and we're going to get into a longer one next week. Just give you a little teaser on it. I'm going to be speaking with one of the few first people that I shared my autobiography with, and she read it last year. I believe it was last year. Obviously it was last year because that's when I published it last May. And right after that, I gave it out to a few people, and she and I have been missing one another, especially after I moved here. So I've been here now in Tennessee for about 8 months now, and I've been asking, not really hounding, but I feel like I've been hounding her and trying to get her to do a podcast with me and share her thoughts on my book, because it seemed to, when I saw her when we worked together, she just conveyed that it touched her emotionally in some areas, and I've been very, very curious to know, you know, how my book touched her. And so she has agreed to come on and interview me, I guess, and ask me some questions about my book. I'm going to just see how the podcast flows and, you know, not put any type of format on it. But I can't wait to speak to someone and get their take on my book. And so that's going to be the podcast for next week. So stay tuned for that. So let's get back to the rest of these 10 struggles here, starting with number 8, being the only one in the room. And there's a feeling of being the only one that many HSPs, melanated HSPs, as it were, experience, especially in spaces where we're outnumbered. Now, I grew up in the South, and I went to high school in a predominantly white area, grew up always either in the military, on military basis, until I was in the fifth grade. And then I was in three fifth grades when my dad was transitioning out of the military. And from, I guess, all my life, I've been pretty much the only, well, I won't even say HSP in the room, but I've definitely been the only one. I've only had maybe one, or myself and one, typically just been myself, only black person or melanated person in my classes in high school. And in college, I went to Memphis State, or now it's called the University of Memphis. It's been that way my entire life, where I've just been used to, well, my last year in high school was in Atlanta, in Decatur, actually a suburb of Atlanta. And it was a predominantly black school. And interestingly enough, I didn't really feel like I fit in at this school. And I tell the story in my book of how I felt really odd and just I didn't really fit in with my senior class. But yeah, minus that year of school, most of my school in high school and college was, and then again, I did transfer to Morris Brown at HBCU in Atlanta. And that again is where I felt the culture shock, being black, being around the majority of people who looked like me. I didn't realize it until one day I was walking through campus, and I just was kept. I do a lot of self reflecting, and I just couldn't put my finger on why I was so uncomfortable on the campus where everybody looked like me. And culture shock just came to me, like, I am having a culture shock. I'm around people who look like me. I should be comfortable, But because I guess I've been around people who didn't look like me, and that was my norm in school, sitting in classrooms where everybody's white and I'm the only white, only black person in the class, that became my normal until, like I said, my senior year in high school, where everybody was pretty much black. And I think there was maybe two white people in the whole school. And well, actually, I take it back, because I did go to three different high schools. So let me back up. My ninth grade year, which was in Greenville, South Carolina, I went to Carolina High School, and it was a predominantly black school. And it was racially mixed, but it was still majority black people at that particular high school. And because I had gone to school in Liberty, South Carolina, from say sixth grade until eighth grade, those were the kids that I was used to. And yes, I was sensitive and I was quirky, my quirky self, and I walked with my head down and I had a pigeon-toed walk. I still do. And so then I transferred to, when my parents got divorced and my mom let me move in with my father, my ninth grade year and my half of my 10th grade, I was going to a school that was predominantly black until I moved back to Liberty area. The middle of my 10th grade year and all of my 11th grade year, I was back around the people that I had been around since, like I said, since the sixth grade. And then I left that summer. We left and we moved to Atlanta, that's when I started going to my senior year. And that was a predominantly black school. And then I left high school and went to the University of Memphis, or back then it was called Memphis State. And it was like 27,000. It's a state school, but it was still a very large university. And it was about, I think back then, the population was like 27,000 students. And the percentage of melanated people on campus was only, we're talking 1990. So I think the number of black students on campus was maybe 14%. There's a core of us, and of course we navigated toward one another, and of course it was the sororities and the fraternity, parties and whatnot, where we find one another. But getting into the day-to-day class schedule and getting into classes, because there's only so many of us, we're all spread out. And again, I'm back in classrooms where I'm the only black person, or maybe one or two of us is in the same class, and we don't know one another. So it's not like we're bonding over that. We're just trying to get through a course schedule. So I digress. I got off on a tangent, but whether it's at school, whether it's at work or social gatherings, being the only person of color in a room can be daunting enough. But when you add in the sensitivity aspect, it's like the weight of the world is on your shoulders. Every glance, every word, every microaggression is magnified in our sensitive minds. Being the only one often means we have to work harder to prove our worth, adapt our behavior to avoid confrontation, I'm so over that, and constantly manage the emotional energy that others aren't aware of. This makes being in these spaces, feel even more isolating, and sometimes it's just plain exhausting. We're down to number 9, emotional labor in our communities. As HSPs and empaths, we tend to take on a lot of emotional labor. We're the ones checking in on people. I know I do it. I've kind of stopped it. I'm kind of backing up off of that right now. Making sure everyone feels heard and trying to keep the peace. But as melanated HSPs and empaths, this emotional labor is often compounded by the demands of our cultural responsibilities. We're expected to take on the role of the strong one in our families and communities, but it can feel like a never-ending burden. It's difficult to carry everyone else's problems and emotions without properly processing your own, and yet we often feel responsible for others' well-being. I know I did for a long time. Checking on people, asking how they're doing. It's just a glance or a look, and you can tell when somebody's not having their best day. And before you know it, you're taking on their issues. You're finding out all that's going on with them, and you're offering your whatever. You're offering your time, you're offering your resources, you're offering, you know, your ear to listen. And again, all of that can be draining in some way, especially if they're not pouring back into you. Then you start to feel resentful. And you know, I have to admit that I found myself in those places, and I couldn't blame it on anybody else because it's not like they asked me to do it. And I think people do recognize when you're a giver, and people recognize when you're emotionally available. And whether they do it on purpose or not, they put themselves first. So what I've learned is, okay, I'm gonna take a page out of other people's books, and I'm gonna start taking myself first. And I have, and I've kind of, as I said, backed up from just offering as much of myself as I have in the past. Number 10, being misunderstood in our own communities. Finally, there's the issue of being misunderstood in our own communities. Sensitivity is often stigmatized in Black and other communities of color, and it can be hard to express your true feelings without being labeled as weak. As an HSP and an empath, I often feel like I'm walking a fine line between embracing my sensitivity and living up to the cultural expectation of strength. This can make me feel like I'm not fully accepted, either in the world of HSPs and empaths or within my own cultural group. The truth is, sensitivity doesn't make us weak, it makes us powerful. But it's a power that's often overlooked or undervalued in the broader conversation. So if you're still rocking with me, these are just 10 of the struggles that melanated HSPs and empaths face. But here's the thing, our sensitivity is not something to be ashamed of. It's what makes us unique, and it's what gives us the power to connect deeply with others. So whether you're an HSP or empath, or you're just learning something new about us today, remember this, our sensitivity is a gift, and it's time we embrace it. Don't forget to subscribe, like, and share this with anyone who could benefit from hearing this message. Visit me at theresaray.com, that's the number 3, SARAYE.com, for more resources and real talk. Thanks for tuning in, and I'll catch you in the next episode.